Breakfast with Crossy.
You're listening to Kicks and Country Against Side A. It's the brand new album, which will be a double album, from Thomas Rhett. And joining me this morning to have a chat about the album as you go through it is the man himself, Thomas Rhett. G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for taking the time with me today. Much appreciate it.
Always welcome. Always welcome. And album release day, is that still something that causes anxiety for you? Or is it like, hey, it's a thing that happens. I've done it a few times before. Let's just get it on.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually a day filled with nervousness, you know. But this one feels a little bit different for some reason. I think nerves are not the word. It's more just anticipation. You know, it's kind of feels like you've had a wedding ring in your pocket for 6 months and you're just ready to propose, you know. Because, you know, we've been working on this record. We started writing for this record in early 2019 and wrapped up a bunch of mixes and masters like 3 months ago. So in a way, this record is very, very fresh to my ears, too, which is really nice. A lot of the time you make a record and it sits there for 9 months. But this one came together, man, and you know, started releasing tracks here and there off side A. And just really excited to get the whole thing out there. The anticipation is very real.
Were there any changes in the way you made this record due to the year that was 2020, or was it pretty much similar to the other ones?
I mean, yeah, way different. You know, I mean, in the past, it's always been, you know, everybody just shows up at the studio and you listen to songs and you go and record them. And this one was, you know, 40,000 COVID tests later and, you know, drummers and bass players and producers wearing masks and making sure you're listening to all the demos outside. And I thought it was going to be a very big vibe killer, you know, just kind of all of that protocol at the beginning and like, oh, now let's go make music, you know? But everyone was, we were all just great sports about it and all took everybody's safety very seriously. And somehow, man, we were able to create one of my favorite albums. It was really fun because a lot of these songs are written in such an organic fashion, just acoustic guitar and some voices, you know, and that's kind of how we went in the studio and approached it from a very starting from scratch standpoint. The most probably organic and raw record that I've made in a very long time. And some of my favorite bits of songwriting pieces in this album too. And pretty personal record, you know, and just ready to get that kind of off my chest and out into the world. So,
yeah, just listening to the record, if I had to, you know, sum it up, basically, I feel like the themes would be a bit of nostalgia in there, but also not like focusing just on nostalgia, also looking forward to the next thing and what's happening in the future. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Country Again was one of those songs that, like, I'd had that title in my phone for years, and I had no idea what it meant. It just looked neat on paper, you know, and thank God for my co-writers, man, because, you know, if it weren't for 2020, I'm not sure that song would have been written the way that it was written. And so much of this album was like really kind of a rediscovery of self in a way, which I think maybe a lot of us did. You know, I think a lot of us were forced to kind of deal with who we are as people, you know, at the core, without what we do. And without, for me, it was like without a guitar in my hand and without affirmation of a crowd to let you know that you're doing okay. It was kind of just you, you know, and your family. And you could have gone like one of two directions. You could have just kind of, you know, neglected what was happening in life, or you just kind of embrace it. And I was really glad that I just embraced it. And for me, it just taught me how to slow down a little bit and made me realize that, like, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, I have put so many things that I love on the back burner, you know, just from the sheer sake of being busy, you know, and which is not a bad thing. Being busy is good. But I think this year allowed me to really step back and be like, man, I love to be outside. I love to fish. I love to hike and camp with my kids. And I, for the first time, ever had time to do it, you know, so it was kind of a reflection, but also kind of a timestamp of this year. And also looking forward, hoping that I take a lot of these traits with me. So
do you think you'll, you know, maybe be a bit more aware of that going forward and make some changes instead of, like, you know, touring, maybe take a few breaks every now and then?
I think it has to be that way. You know, I mean, I think all of us, I definitely was in just a rat race of just this mission for more always, you know. There were times where I feel like really cool things would happen in life and they weren't celebrated. They were just like, well, there's a checklist. Let's keep moving forward, you know. And moving forward, man, I just want to celebrate the little stuff. You know, I think we forget to celebrate great things in life. And so for me, like, I mean, I love to tour and I love to be busy and I love to be on the road. But I do think every now and then there has to be a moment, at least a week, you know, of just like reset time and just getting out off the grid, no cell phone, you and your family, and just kind of, you know, getting back into what makes you tick. So,
It's funny you talk about family, and one of the things I was going to bring up is that, once again, and this has been the way on pretty much, I think pretty much all the albums, a lot of the songs you've written with your dad.
Yeah.
Is that something that, you must be great to be able to share music and be able to do that with your dad and to be able to create together.
It's incredible, you know, because it could easily be a disaster, you know, working with your dad. But for me, I've been around my dad, obviously, since I was born. But, I mean, just watching him do what he does for a living, like, none of this was really new to me, kind of getting into the music business. I got to see it firsthand as a 9-year-old kid, you know. And obviously, there were a bunch of bumps in the road and some surprises. But, you know, for me and my dad, we've always kind of been first and foremost songwriters. You know, even though we're both entertainers, like, we love the craft of a song. And I think that's kind of what draws us together and what makes us successful together. We have an ear for a hit, but we also have an ear for a songwriter song, you know, like a song that, like, may not ever make its way onto the radio, but something that had to be said, you know, and those end up being some of our favorite songs we get to write together. Like, To the Guys That Ate My Girls is a song we wrote on this record, which has become one of my favorite tracks. And one of my fans' favorite tracks as well. And they haven't even heard the recorded version. They're kind of living with a YouTube version from the road. But it's very cool to be able to work with your dad in a professional capacity and it be successful.
Yeah. You've also got a song on the album that features Hardy. Now, being that you're Thomas Rhett, if you wanted to collaborate with someone, there probably wouldn't be too many people, at least within country, that would say no. So, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe someone doesn't like you. I don't know. There could be a possibility there. But, you know, what made you decide, okay, I want to do a collaboration and Hardy's the man?
Yeah. Man, I'm just a big believer not that Hardy needs any help, but I just love investing in newer artists, you know, because a lot of people invested in me as a young artist, maybe not in the collaboration form, but a lot of artists took chances on me, you know, taking me out on the road and teaching me a lot of lessons about how to perform and, you know, best way to pick songs for an album. And I just love, like, I mean, I love getting to collaborate with people that are already established, but there's something really unique about going to someone like Hardy, who's, you know, had a hit or two and has written thousands of hits for other artists, and being like, well, first of all, we're really good buddies. Second of all, I love your style. And third of all, I feel like you would take this song from good to great. And it was so much easier than I thought. You'd be surprised at how complicated it is to get somebody on an album, you know, because with single rights and, you know, management and label and all those things are necessary. But Hardy it was easy. He was just like, when do I put my vocal on it? And I was like, whenever you feel like it. And it was like literally the next day. And I listened to that song on repeat for like 2 days, and I'm just a big fan of Hardy.
Cool. Cool. And it is country again, side A, being that there is a side B coming. Did you always plan there to be a double album at some point in your career? Or was it like a pandemic thing that you're saying, oh, let's do this?
I always thought if I had enough time to write them, I would do a double album. And, you know, we did have a lot of time last year, and I think you're starting to see that with a ton of artists. But I think when you give a songwriter too much time off, you know, they go to the beach for a week and then like, all right, now what do we do? And I think for Nashville, we all just kind of dug in and started just to write. I feel like everybody was so creative last year, and everybody just had a lot of titles they were hanging around on because there was nothing to do. And every time I felt like I got in the room with writers, we were just writing great song after great song after great song. And before you knew it, we had recorded, you know, almost 30 songs in the studio and songs that I loved. You know, there's always been times I've recorded songs where we recorded too many and I was like, okay, those four can go. We'll stick with these, you know. And on this record, it was just one of those things that every song we recorded just kept telling this story of country again. You know, it kept kind of gravitating towards that anchor of that hook. And, you know, for me, I've always wanted to do a double album, but on this one, I really wanted to split it up because I didn't want people to feel like they had to sit there for 3 hours listening to music. You know, I kind of want them to be able to listen to 11 and really soak those in and then know that there's more coming in the fall that they're also going to enjoy. So that was kind of the concept behind that.
Awesome, mate. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you today. I see that you got shows coming up. That must be exciting. Are you feeling like getting back on stage? Is that like you're champing at the bit, or you think, oh, hopefully I can still do it right?
There's a little bit of both going on. You know, I've talked to a bunch of artists that are just like, I don't remember how any of my songs go. And you know, so many of us have been working on new content for the last couple of years that even when I got into rehearsal, like me and the band breezed through the new songs because it was all fresh on our minds. And we started to kind of step into songs we recorded 5 years ago. We were like, how do we do this again? but I think it's going to be awesome, man. It's always fun to knock the rust off and always fun to create new ways to, you know, to top your last couple tours you did and figure out how to make them even bigger and better. So,
Thomas Rhett, thanks, mate. Appreciate the chat.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good one.
Thank you. Breakfast with Crossy every weekday morning from 6 a.m. on Kicks.